Hello, my name is Kayla Verhoeven, and today is Thursday, March 19th of 2026, and we're going to start off with the first half of the pantograph here. We'll start off with the information from the pantograph staff about the election. Bailey versus Pritzker again. Governor's race, top takeaway as races, referendums settled. Election 2026 Illinois primary. Former state senator Darren Bailey will be back on the ballot this fall, once again facing off with Governor J.B. Pritzker in his second run at unseating the Democratic incumbent. Bailey, the Republican farmer from southern Illinois, and the party's 2022 nominee claimed victory Tuesday night in a four-way primary for the GOP nomination, defeating Ted Dabrowski, former head of the conservative policy website WirePoints. According to unofficial results, Bailey secured 53.5% of the Republican vote, with 95% of votes counted. Dabrowski trailed with 28.8%, while James Mendrick and Rick Heidner each finished the night with less than 10% of the vote. Illinois is hurting. Across the state, no matter where you live or who you voted for, people are feeling the same pressure. Families are working harder and falling further behind. Seniors are afraid to open their utility bills. Parents are wondering if their kids are going to be able to afford to stay in Illinois. Bailey said as he claimed victory Tuesday night, promising to fight for Illinois families. 4 years ago, Bailey won the nomination with 57% of the vote in a crowded race that also featured Aurora Mayor Richard Irvin and a venture capitalist Jesse Sullivan, but he lost in the general election, 55% to 42%, with Pritzker cleaning up in Cook County and the surrounding areas to win a second term. During the primary campaign, all of Bailey's rivals argued that his poor 2022 general election showing demonstrated his unelectability. But Bailey was able to win renomination, basically large on name recognition and the low-dollar, stumble-filled campaigns of his opponents. His choice in running mate, Cook County Republican Party Chairman Aaron Del Mar, has been seen as a key part of his strategy to gain momentum in the Chicago area after his 2022 defeat. To my friends in Chicago, I know I've got a southern accent. Some folks have said that I talk funny, he said Tuesday at a victory party in Springfield. But from Carbondale to Wilmette, Quincy to Danville, one thing remains the same. Those bills in your mailbox, they don't care about anyone's accent. This is because the problem isn't regional, it's leadership. Pritzker and his running mate, Christian Mitchell, were unopposed in the Democratic primary. Turning his attention to the general election Tuesday night, Pritzker compared Bailey to President Donald Trump, whom he called the carnival barker-in-chief. Bailey wants to be the Donald Trump of Illinois, the governor said. He wants to lower the minimum wage. He wants to take away a woman's right to choose. He wants to continue the Trump tariff taxes on groceries, Pritzker told supporters. Pritzker and Bailey will have more opportunities to spar in the coming months on the November 3rd election approaches. U.S. Senate House races take shape. A familiar face will also be Illinois' next U.S. Senator, as Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton and former State Republican Party Chairman Don Tracy claimed victory over their primary components. With about 92% of votes counted Wednesday morning, Stratton had received 40.1% of the Democratic votes, according to unofficial results reported by the Associated Press. She outpaced U.S. Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy by more than 80,000 votes, which many attribute to the support the lieutenant governor received from Pritzker. The Democratic ticket drew the most attention in the wake of U.S. Senator Dick Durbin's decision not to run for re-election. But on the other side, Tracy, a Springfield Republican, and another family name on the ballot rose among a slate of lesser-known candidates. On Wednesday, unofficial results showed Tracy with 39.9% of the GOP vote, leading with 95% of votes counted in a margin of more than 90,000 votes. A Tracy win in November would continue Illinois' decades-long balance of having one senator from Chicagoland and one from downstate. But if Durbin's seat remains blue, Illinois would be entirely represented in the U.S. Senate by Chicago-area residents, as Stratton is from the city and Senator Tammy Duckworth is from Hoffman Estates. Incumbents in downstate Illinois congressional races had little trouble securing their party nominations, but the stage is now set for new face-offs in November. The incumbents in the 13th and the 15th congressional districts had landslide victories, as U.S. Representative Nikki Podinsky took 75.5% of the vote in the 13th, and U.S. Representative Mary Miller claimed 73.6% in the 15th, according to the unofficial election results. Podinsky, a Democrat from Springfield, defeated Dylan Blaha in the primary and will take on Republican challenger Jeff Wilson in November. Wilson earned a 67.5% of the vote over Joshua Lloyd, AP reported. Miller, a Republican from Hinesboro, defeated two Republican challengers Tuesday. Democrat Jennifer Todd, who won the party nomination with 45.8% of the vote, will be on the ballot in November, hoping to unseat the incumbent. Republican Dylan Vansil won the party nomination for the 17th congressional district over Julie Bickelhaupt with 58.4% of the vote, according to unofficial election results. In November, he will challenge incumbent U.S. Representative Eric Sorensen, a Democrat from Moline. The primary was uncontested for both parties. In the 16th congressional district, U.S. Representative Darren LaHood, the Republican incumbent, will face Paul Nolley, a Democrat from Loves Park near Rockford, in November. Drop in local voter turnout. Midterm elections are notorious for low turnout, and their primaries even more so. Illinois' primary on Tuesday was no different. Although the number of registered voters has increased in McLean County since the last midterm, turnout decreased between the 2022 and 2026 primary elections. The Bloomington Election Commission, which only includes the city, reported 10,688 ballots cast out of 52,315 registered voters. That puts turnout at 20.43% for this election. The McLean County Clerk's Office, which encompasses the rest of the county, reported 13,614 ballots. With 62,078 registered voters, that leaves a turnout of 21.9%. In 2022, the Clerk's Office reported a turnout that was 25.5%, with a 15,169 ballots cast out of 59,482 registered voters. The Bloomington Election Commission showed a lesser decline between 2022 and 2026, with 21.7 reported in the previous midterm primary. In 2022, the BEC reported 11,601 ballots that were cast out of 53,418 voters. Hayworth to build new fire station. Randolph Township voters in Hayworth and rural areas south of Bloomington approved a referendum Tuesday to issue $4 million in bonds. That money will go towards a new fire station for the Randolph Township Fire Protection District, which will be built on a donated 2.5-acre parcel along U.S. Route 136. Fire officials have said that the district's current facilities were not built to accommodate modern fire trucks and other equipment. A few Haworth voters who were to speak to the pantograph said this issue was one of the main reasons they showed up at the polls on Tuesday morning. "I think we need it, so we have better EMT, which is emergency medical technicians, response, and we've needed a new station for a long time," said Haworth resident Carl Limer. Frank Friend, trustee president for the Fire Protection District, thanked voters Tuesday for supporting the referendum. "Your yes vote enables us to move forward with constructing a new fire and ambulance station, an important step to ensure that we can continue providing safe, efficient, and reliable emergency services for future generations," he said in a prepared statement. "Expand revenue spending at Livingston County Schools." To the north, another referendum received voter approval in this election. Livingston County Schools to request to expand their use of certain sales tax revenues. School districts in Livingston County already benefited from a 1% county facility sales tax, but unlike McLean County, the districts have had a more limited scope for spending that revenue. Safety and security improvements, new school facilities, additions and renovations, land acquisition, energy efficiency projects, architectural planning and engineering, and durable equipment. But on Tuesday, roughly 62% of voters chose to grant their school districts the ability to spend that revenue on school resource officers, guidance counselors, social workers, and behavioral health specialists, according to unofficial results. Capital News Illinois, Chicago Tribune, and the Pantograph's Drew Zimmerman, Matisse Janik, and Kelsey Wasnauer contributed to this report. In other news, drivers see gas prices surging. Average highest since 2023 as the war drags on, by Wyatt Grantham Phillips, by the Associated Press 2 hours ago. Mideast War, New York. The Iran war rattled the global flow of oil, with steeper fuel costs already straining households worldwide. In the U.S., drivers now face the highest prices they've seen at the pump in nearly 2.5 years. According to Motor Club AAA, the national average for a gallon of regular gasoline jumped over $3.84 on Wednesday, up from $2.98 that consumers were paying before the U.S. and Israel launched the war, with joint attacks against Iran on February the 28th. The last time gas prices were as expensive as they are now was in September of 2023. "It's pretty hard. I mean, times are rough for everybody right now," Amanda Acosta, a Louisiana resident, said while filling up her car's tank this week. "I'm getting way less gas and paying way more money." Pain at the pump was one of the most immediate economic effects of the conflict, because the price of crude oil, the main ingredient in gasoline, soared and swung rapidly in weeks due to supply chain disruptions and cuts from major producers across the Middle East. Brent crude, the international standard, settled at more than $103 a barrel Tuesday, up from about $70 just weeks ago. Benchmark U.S. crude topped $96 a barrel. President Donald Trump, who once bragged about keeping gas prices low, since pivoted to try to paint high oil prices as a positive outcome for the U.S. last week. Trump said because the U.S. is now the largest crude producer in the world, when oil prices go up, we make a lot of money. Companies that supply oil benefit from higher prices, but steeper costs pinch consumers' wallets. It could push up already stubborn inflation, at least in the short run, and potentially hammer the economy if steep costs drag on. Experts say that could apply more pressure on the Trump administration, particularly as affordability stays at the top of the voters' minds. Drivers see effects of higher fuel prices. "I just want all of it to end. I just want to get out of there, out of Iran, said Megan Adamali, a New Jersey resident, who was among customers filling up Tuesday at a Multani station. While she said she can personally roll with the punches, when it comes to gas prices, she knows a lot of others can't. Dan Bradley, a flatbed truck driver out of Pennsylvania, said he's felt the rising prices for his work and personal vehicles. Beyond regular gasoline, the average U.S. price for diesel topped $5 a gallon Tuesday, per AAA, up from about $3.76 before the conflict started. It sucks when you're filling up, Bradley said. What are you going to do? Not get gas? Meanwhile, Texas resident Clay Plant said raising oil costs is good for the economy of his town, Lubbock. He noted he sees more people work as drilling picks up. It's kind of a good sign for us in West Texas, he said. I look at it as my friends and family get to eat and they get to go to work. Search for more supply and uncertainty ahead. The U.S. is now a net exporter of oil, and other parts of the world that rely more heavily on fuel imports from the Middle East, notably Asia, saw more stark energy shocks amid the war. That doesn't mean America is immune to price spikes. Oil is a globally traded commodity, and most of what the U.S. produces is light, sweet crude. But refineries on the East and West coasts are primarily designed to process heavier, sour product. As a result, the country also needs imports. Iran effectively halted nearly all tanker movement in the Strait of Hormuz, with roughly a fifth of the world's oil transits on a typical day. That's led to cuts from some major producers in the region, because their crude has nowhere to go. Trump demanded that other countries send warships to reopen the waterway, but had yet to garner sign-ons. Meanwhile, Iran, Israel, and the United States struck oil and gas facilities. Last week, the International Energy Agency pledged to release 400 million barrels of oil available from its member nations' stockpiles. Trump, who previously downplayed the need to tap into reserve oil, later confirmed the U.S. would pull 172 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve as part of the effort. The administration also announced it will temporarily free up Russian oil from U.S. sanctions. Analysts say those efforts will be a short-term bridge. Refineries buy crude oil in advance, and it takes time for new supply to trickle down to consumers. In other election news, Chicago downstate voters helped Stratton win primary. Election 2026 Senate primary. Ben Zelensky, Brendan Moore, and Jenna Schweikart. Capital News, Illinois. 2 hours ago. Chicago. Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton rode a late wave of momentum to win the Democratic nomination for the Illinois Open U.S. Senate seat, toppling longtime front-runner Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy with the financial aid and political muscle of Governor J.B. Pritzker and an outsider message that has set her apart from her rivals with the Washington experience. With 82% of precincts reporting, Stratton had a 39.6% to 33.6% lead over Krishnamoorthy, a margin of about 50,000 votes out of more than 900,000 cast. Representative Robin Kelly, a Democrat from Linwood, was in third place with 18.5%. The Associated Press called the race for Stratton at 9:40 p.m. Tuesday evening. 11 months ago, I made a promise to Illinois to be the fighter you deserve, to go to the mat fighting for you and bring your voices with me to Washington, Stratton told her supporters on Chicago's West Side. I haven't forgotten that promise. Stratton received about 44% of the vote in Chicago to Kelly's 25% and Krishnamoorthy's 23%. She essentially fought for suburban Cook County to a draw with Krishnamoorthy, while he came out ahead in the suburban collar counties besides Will County, where Stratton lived. Stratton also led in many downstate counties, especially population centers in the Metro East, Springfield, Bloomington Normal, and Champaign-Urbana. We never lost sight of what's most important, and that is courage. Courage inspired me to run, Stratton said. Courage powered this campaign, and courage will bring this fight straight to Donald Trump's door. Stratton pledged to continue calling for abolishing U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, raising the minimum wage, and instituting Medicaid for all. It's time for bold ideas, big dreams, and real courage in Washington, and we won't wait a second longer, Stratton said. Across town, at Krishnamoorthy's event, the energy in the room was flat the entire night as results streaming on a large projector continually showed Stratton ahead. Eventually, the feed was cut off and replaced with a large Raja campaign logo. While the Associated Press had yet to call the race, Krishnamoorthy took the stage shortly after 9:30 p.m. to announce that he'd call Stratton to concede the race. Obviously, this is not the result we sought, a somber-looking Krishnamoorthy flanked by his wife and two of his children told supporters. But unlike Donald Trump, I'm not going to question the outcome. I'm proud of the race we were in, and I'm honored to at the support we received from every corner of the state, from Rockford to Cairo, and from the Quad Cities to Decatur. Referencing an old Chicago machine phrase about excluding outsiders from party politics, Krishnamoorthy cast himself as the guy, quote-unquote, nobody sent. He thanked supporters who had the courage to defy the party establishment and endorse the candidate with 29 letters in his name. He also thanked his donors, which he credited with enabling them to compete with the very wealthiest interests. And not so veiled reference to Governor J.B. Pritzker, who largely bankrolled a super PAC, the Back Stratton. The end of a long primary season. Tuesday night marked the conclusion of a lengthy and expensive primary campaign to replace Senator Dick Durbin, who has held the seat since 1997 and did not make an endorsement in the race. Krishnamoorthy spent years laying the groundwork for a Senate run. He made frequent stops across the state, from fundraisers for various county Democratic parties to official congressional events well outside the boundaries of his suburban congressional district. He was also the most aggressive fundraiser in the Illinois congressional delegation, banking more than $19 million before he launched a Senate run in May of 2025. He continued fundraising at a breakneck pace, allowing him to run television advertisements nonstop since last July, more than 6 months before any other campaign or outside political action committee got on the air. Krishnamoorthy's campaign spent more than $27 million on ads. The name recognition attained through his paid media blitz allowed Krishnamoorthy to build an early polling lead on his main rivals, Stratton and Kelly. However, Krishnamoorthy's numbers eventually hit a ceiling, remaining stubbornly stuck in the mid to high 30s, even as he had continued to lead his opponents. Stratton entered the race with Pritzker's endorsement, but after 7 years on the self-funding billionaire's number two, she struggled to fundraise on her own, a problem exacerbated by strict federal contribution limits to campaign committees. She attempted to turn this weakness into a strength by pledging not to accept donations from corporate political action committees. She also made bold policy proposals like an hourly $25 minimum wage. But she really started gaining ground on Krishnamoorthy in January, when the Pritzker-funded Illinois Future PAC finally launched a long-expected ad campaign on her behalf. Unlike candidate committees, which are subject to strict contribution limits, PACs can raise unlimited sums, making it an attractive option for Pritzker to exert outsized influence on the race. Krishnamurthy simultaneously faced tough headlines over more than $90,000 in contributions from donors with ties to President Donald Trump, including nearly $30,000 from Cheyenne Sanker, the chief and technology officer of Palantir, a company that holds a $30 million contract with ICE to help track individuals for deportation. Krishnamurthy donated a sum equaling to Sankar's contributions to immigrant rights organizations. This was around the same time Operation Midway Blitz dominated the headlines, drawing negative attention to federal immigration officers. Kelly has served in Congress since 2013 and previously served a stint as chair of the Democratic Party of Illinois before being ousted by Pritzker-backed Lisa Hernandez. She cast herself as a progressive in the race who could work along the aisle to get things accomplished. But Kelly also struggled to break out due to lack of resources, always remaining a distant third place behind Krishnamurthy and Stratton. As Stratton gained in the polls, dark money PACs with ties to the cryptocurrency industry poured more than $10 million into ads against her. They also sought to boost Kelly, leading to accusations that the effort was meant to split the black vote between Stratton and Kelly, who are both black women. Stratton begins the general election as a heavy favorite to succeed Durbin, facing off against former Republican Party Chair Don Tracy. Seven other candidates were also on the ballot and received about 9% of the vote. Republican results. In the Republican primary for Durbin's open Senate seat, Tracy received 40% of the vote as of 10 p.m. Tuesday evening. Tracy faced five other candidates in the primary race, which lacked the same attention as the Democratic primary with a field of lesser-known candidates with little political experience. Tracy said his top priority will be reducing the cost of living in key areas like energy and health care. "I am absolutely delighted to be here for you, Don," Salvi said. "Everything that you will stand for will elevate and bring hope and promise to Illinois." Of the other five candidates, Chicago attorney Jeannie Evans received about 22% of the vote. Real estate manager Casey Chilbeck received 11%, and the final three candidates received about 25% collectively. Today's Flick Fact. Question. Illinois State University grad Henry V. Porter, quote-unquote, invented something while working for the Bloomington-based Illinois High School Association that you'll hear hundreds of times today and over the next 3 weeks. Do you know what it is? Answer. A native of nearby Manitou and a 1913 graduate of Illinois State Normal University, Porter later worked for the IHSA, and in 1939 wrote an essay about the craziness created by the annual Illinois High School basketball tournament. It included this line, "A little March Madness may contribute to sanity and help keep society on an even keel." And this phrase, quote-unquote, March Madness, stuck. Originally copyrighted by the IHSA, a 1990s court settlement eventually transferred the rights to the NCAA. And yes, another March of Madness begins this week. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, friends, I will be back with you to read part two of the pantograph. Please try to enjoy this weather. It's supposed to be very nice. And stay safe. Take a walk. Take the dog for a walk. Do anything to get you some spare time for yourself. Just remember, sometimes the best thing that we can do for ourselves is to give ourselves the time of day. Until next time, friends. My name is Kayla Verhoeven, and this has been the March 19th. Edition of the pantograph, and until next time, friends, be safe and enjoy the rest of your day.